Good morning. I am Scott Sanchez, Acting Zoning Administrator. Today is June 23rd, 2010, regularly scheduled variance hearing. I am joined today at the controls by Ava Atahara-Taylor, the Recording Secretary, and also Assistant to the Zoning Administrator. I'd like to begin by going through some of the basics. First, for order of presentation. First, the applicant and or owners will be given 5 minutes to present oral arguments to justify the variance, in particular how the 5 variance findings are being met by their application, and we'll have more on the variance findings in just a second. Proponents will be allowed 3 minutes to speak, opponents will also be allowed 3 minutes to speak, and the applicant and or owners will be allowed a 3-minute rebuttal at the end. Also during this time, I'll be asking questions of the applicant, and at the very end of the calendar, we'll have general public comments. So for public comment on items that are in the general purview of the zoning administrator, but are not particularly calendared for today, that will be at the very end of the calendar. Also, when you are the project sponsor and coming up to the podium, please have already prepared the current declaration of posting. We do have a revised declaration of posting that's available by the podium, so please complete that, and that is critical for the notification process. Going into the findings for variance under Planning Code Section 305, establishes 5 findings, all of which must be met in order to grant a variance. Finding 1, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same classic district. Finding number 2, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of this code, the planning code, would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding 4, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. Finding 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of this code and planning code and will not adversely affect the master plan or general plan of City County of San Francisco. A critical element here, no decision is final until a variance decision letter is issued. And in order to be notified of the issuance of a variance decision letter, there is a sign-in sheet. Please check that you would like to receive the variance decision letter. This will preserve your right to appeal. So you have an appeal window of 10 days after the variance decision letter is issued. So it's critical that if you have concerns about the project, or even just want to be notified of the outcome of the project, that you check that box, and we will mail you a copy of the variance decision letter. General timing of variance decision letters, due to backlog and staffing concerns, it, for some of the simpler variances, it may be as soon as 2 weeks, but we do have a backlog of up to 2 months on occasion. There also may be occasions where we need to continue an item to a later date in order to get additional information. We may request that the parties, if they're opposing parties, that perhaps it meets outside of this hearing and discuss possible remedies to those concerns and come back at a later time to report that. That may be even after the variance hearing has been closed. So on another note, please note that this is a room with some bad acoustics, so please keep conversations to a minimum. If you need to have a more involved conversation, please go out to the hallway. Also, please turn off any cell phones, ringers, pagers, other note-taking devices, standard rules. So ready to begin here on the consent calendar. And so the consent calendar, we have 4 items. The consent calendar, these items are generally considered to be routine by the zoning administrator and by staff. There's no separate discussion on these items unless if a member of the public here wishes that item be taken off and discussed, in which case we would remove from the calendar and it would be heard immediately after the discussion on the consent calendar. So with that...
Okay, we have 4 items for the consent calendar. Case number 2010, 2218 Lyon Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variance sought. Item number 2, case number 2010.0333V, 390 Bayshore, off-street parking variance sought. Item number 3, case 2009.0759V, 1269 3rd Avenue, rear yard variance sought. And the last item, case number 2010.0209V, 217 Arkansas Street, rear yard variance sought.
Thank you. Now, is there any member of the public who's here today to speak on any of the consent calendar items? And I do see one hand. Sir, will you please approach forward and inform us of the item that you'd like to speak on?
It's about the...
Could you please go closer to the mic?
Please state your name for the record, sir.
Kristen Thompson, about 390 Bayshore.
And are you opposed or in support of the project?
I'm opposed to their off-street parking variance.
Okay. We will take that item off the consent calendar. It'll be heard first. Is anyone here to speak on any of the other items that are on the consent calendar? Could you please approach? Oh, you're the public spokesman.
Yeah.
For which item?
For 1269 Third Avenue.
So,
I just want to support the project.
Okay, thank you. So, it might be more efficient if we do not take it off the consent calendar since you're in support of it. We'll keep it on the consent calendar. So, we will keep items 1, 3, and 4 on the consent calendar. And if there's no one else to speak on those items, then they will be granted subject to the standard conditions of approval. And we will now move into the regular calendar where we will conduct a hearing on number 2, case number 2.
Case number 2, 2010.0333V, 390 Bayshore, off-street parking variance sought.
Is the project sponsor here? Thank you, sir. Please approach and state your name for the record.
Yes, hi. Thank you very much. My name is Jace Levinson, and I'm in the project sponsor for 390 Bayshore. The project is a tenant improvement for American Gymnastics Club. The owner is Elizabeth Selig, a fifth-generation San Francisco, who has owned American Gymnastics for 30 years. She has a facility on Judah Street. The facility no longer serves her needs. The demand for competitive gymnastics and facility that will serve that use in San Francisco has outgrown the existence of any facility that can serve that, and Elizabeth would like to open a new facility that can provide that for the city of San Francisco. It basically serves children ages 5 to 18. It's a unique use in that she needs a large open space and high ceilings. And this is obviously quite hard to come by in dense San Francisco. Unfortunately, we have found this such a space on Bayshore Boulevard. And the site is 100 by 105 feet. It's roughly a square, backs up to 101, the highway. And the building is actually 100 by 100. Therefore, there is only a 5-foot swath of open space at the rear of the property, inaccessible by vehicle except going through the car. So the car demand here places a severe hardship on the Selig in that there's no way to accommodate 12 cars except in the building itself. If we were to accommodate 12 cars within the building itself, she would lose 50 to 75% of the square footage when you take into account 12 cars, parking lanes, egress, and access. Therefore, the basic facility would really no longer exist as a resource for the city. And so we think this is a very reasonable hardship. Right now, that space for the last 20 years has been used as retail bulky. A used retail bulky. And therefore, people have been coming to it all day throughout the day on a continuous basis. And parking obviously has, we don't know that it's been a problem at all. With Ms. Selig's use, the parking will actually be reduced because people will be coming at measured intervals throughout the day. The use is actually much more par to a school than it is a retail services facility in which people are coming continuously throughout the day, with peak demands perhaps, you know, at lunch or at the end of the day. With the gymnastics facility, there are set times. People come, they drop off the kids, and they leave. And so the hardship of having to take 50 to 75% of the building for parking seems somewhat unreasonable in the situation. We sent out notices. We hadn't heard from anyone. Our office has not received any notices. We are not aware of the planning department having received any notices. And I am not aware that Ms. Selleck has received any notices in opposition. In fact, she has done a terrific job, which she will talk to you about, of speaking with the neighborhood groups, Vernal Heights in particular, and they are all fully in support. We have submitted approximately 140 letters of support from neighbors, parents, and children. And we think overall that this is just a very positive thing for both the Bayshore corridor and for the city of San Francisco, so we ask that you look at this favorably. Do you have any questions?
So it's my understanding that there is a parking requirement of 20 spaces and that there's a net difference, actually, of 10, because they're grandfathered in for 10 parking spaces already. So there's really a net difference of 10 parking spaces, and that you received nearly, I think, 30 emails in support from what our department has received, 30 emails in support, and approximately 70 letters of support, I think, which were submitted by yourself. You've described a bit about how the business will function, that there'll be people being dropped off. Can you describe any access to transit or any alternative methods in which people will use to reach the business?
Sure. And we did talk about that in our application. Muni actually serves this area reasonably well, and let me just look at what we wrote here. There are 20 bus stops within a 3/4 mile radius, and that's 3/4 mile radius we consider a 15-minute walk. And so it's served by bus lines 9, 23, 90, served by those three bus lines. In the city, that's pretty good muni service. And these are kids, again, 5 to 18, but in the competitive range, we're really talking kids 12 to 18, and we think they're probably very capable of taking the bus. I think Elizabeth Selig will talk to you more about how the facility functions in terms of times, but there are set classes, so it's not a random drop-off, like 200 people just coming. And also, it will not be used for large stage events. You know, for example, state competitions, city competitions. It will not be used for those kinds of functions in which 200, 500,000 people could show up. This is strictly classes, and a class, I believe, can range anywhere from as low as 5 people to maybe as high as 12. So it's a really modest use. It's just that they need a lot of square footage for relatively large equipment. Balance beams, you've seen it, of course. Balance beams, trampolines, pits, rings, all that kind of thing. So it's a square footage demand. It's not so much a people demand.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
And are there any public comment in support of the project? So you'll be given 3 minutes.
Good morning, my name is Liz.
You have 3 minutes now.
Okay, 3 minutes, sorry.
I'm the owner of American Gymnastics Club, and I've operated my facility out of the Sunset District for the last 30 years. We have classes for children as young as 3 up to 18 years old, and I've seen thousands of children grow up in San Francisco, and the children that started with me 30 years ago are now bringing their children to my gym. It's a very family-oriented business. We also have a very successful competitive team that's requiring higher ceilings and more space because they're going to state and regional championships. And they're not only just going, they're winning. A lot of these kids like to go on and compete for the college, but because our facility can't provide them the space they need, they end up leaving the city and commuting to San Jose or San Mateo or Emeryville, where they can get a large facility with high ceilings and the proper training equipment, or they just quit because the commute is too much. And it's really a pity for us to see them go, because we train them and bring them to a high level, and then they can't continue. Also, about our parking situation, most of our kids are dropped off. We don't have a lot of kids in one class. Our student-teacher ratio is 6-1. There may be 3 or 4 classes going on at a time, and our peak hours are after 5 in the evening when our competitive team trains. They train from 5 until 9. During the rest of the day, it's mostly younger children or moms who drop their kids off and go shopping or go run some errands. And in our current location on Judah Street, I've noticed that when people do drop off, they spend money in the area. And since I've opened up, there's now a pet shop, a karate school, a crepe shop, a dry cleaners. So a lot of businesses have opened up around my business. So I don't think it would be an impact on the parking. I think it would be a great asset to San Francisco to have this facility, especially since there's nothing on that side of the city for children, nothing like a gymnastics school that provides a safe learning environment. And several people have asked me to open a facility on that side of the city, because to drive 25 minutes across town when you have 2 or 3 children is impossible. So I'm hoping you'll grant my variance.
Thank you. Any other members of the public here to speak in support of the project? Seeing that, we'll move to opposition. Certainly have 3 minutes to speak.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Okay. Well, my name is Crispin Thompson. I have a studio at 382 Bayshore.
Sorry.
We have people
that want to speak. Okay, sorry, I didn't see you.
Please raise your hand.
Yes. Please raise your hand if you'd like to speak in support of the subject project. Sorry, sir.
Sorry, you couldn't
relate. That's okay. And if you could please line up against the wall, too, so we can see how many people are here.
He's asking you to line up against the wall.
Yeah, thank you.
Good morning. My name is LaShonda Swan, with my daughter Kayla. And I have a threefold interest, I believe, in seeing this facility come to fruition. As a parent, actually 2 students in the program, I've been incredibly privileged, and we've been very fortunate to benefit from the variety of benefits that this program has brought to the community. Definitely, I think our children have benefited not only physically, but with the mental discipline and the character development that they've gained as a result of this program. It's really been amazing. And so we would definitely like to see it expanded and enable more students to potentially benefit. But the second thing is, I'm a small business owner, and my business is 2,112 feet from the new facility. I'm at 425 Barneveld, and my business is a cake for me. I welcome the added attention to the area, even if it's just a small amount. I know that you have a loan something that's going in across the street. And, you know, I think bolstering these small economies is really important, you know, having additional people at least seeing what they're just dropping off momentarily and able to patronize these businesses is going to do more than people realize for, you know, obviously, you know, supporting these small and mid-sized businesses also. And then I think the third element is I'm an elected official, so in the Jefferson Elementary School District, I'm the vice president of the school board there. And this is just a really critical time for our children, as you well know. The state budget is in crisis, obviously. And we are always looking for opportunities and outlets for these children to be able to experience more extracurricular type things, support of arts, dance, gymnastics, you know, music. And there are a number of students from my school district who attend the classes at American Gymnastics, and I know others who would benefit from it as well. And it's just a critical time for us, as well as I'm sure here in your school district as well, to have programs which you know, provide resources for our students, for them, places for them to go when our school budgets can't support them, and provide the extra curricular activities that they may need. So. Anyway, I pray and hope that you will really, you know, keep in mind all of the comments that you've heard and that you will hear today in support of this. And, you know, I don't think anything is ever really a perfect situation, but I think that the good so far outweighs the challenges for this. And the benefit that the children receive, I think, far outweighs any challenges with parking for Thank you very much.
Do you have any comments on parking in the neighborhood currently? Because this is a parking variance, and just for all members of the
public. For my business, you're saying?
Yes, I'm sorry, just a general.
Yeah, that's fine.
This is on a parking variance, so
right.
to focus the
attention. Right.
We understand the benefits of the
use. Right.
We do want to hear that as well.
No, that's great. No, thank you for asking. So my business is just a few blocks away and around the corner, and I don't feel like there's a negative toll on parking so far. And I know that there's been a ton of construction going on in the area because of the Lowe's that's coming up, that's opening. And, you know, I definitely, there are times where I've had to maybe circle the block once to look for something, but I always find something that's in a very reasonable walking distance, you know, from my particular business. So, and especially knowing that this is going to be a drop-off and pick-up thing, I don't see it posing a negative impact on my personal business. So, thank you.
Thank you. And next, in support of the project, as I said before, if we could please focus on the issue at hand here, which is the parking variance and thoughts on that. But
my name is Michael Rochford, and this is some of our American Gymnastics competitive boys team.
Can you please speak closer to the mic?
Sure.
Thank you.
I've been a competitive gymnast at American Gymnastics Club for the past 8 years. I started on the team when I was 7 years old, and I'm now 15 years old, training for level 10 next season. I love gymnastics and spend about 18 hours a week training at the gym. I just took first place in the state of California, as well as in our five-state regional gymnastics competition last month. I want to train for my next level in hopes of continuing gymnastics through high school and eventually getting a college scholarship for gymnastics. Miss Alex's current gym in the Sunset has been fine up until now, but is not equipped to handle the demands needed for level 10 training. Many of my high school age teammates have hit our feet on the ceiling while doing high bar. We're definitely outgrowing our little gym. I've been waiting a long time to be able to work out in a gym that has high ceilings and pits. I hope that you grant Miss Selig's request for a variance so that I continue to work towards my dream. Gymnastics isn't just a sport to me. Through gymnastics, I have learned the valuable skills of respect, teamwork, discipline, and perseverance. I hope to continue to use these skills in high school and for the rest of my life. Please let us have the gym on Bayshore Boulevard.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, the support department.
Good morning. I'm Susan Wu, and I am the booster treasurer for American Gymnastics. I've been with the gym for 3 years, and as you can see, it's a great place for boys and girls. If you visit our facility or Elizabeth's current gym on Judah Street, you can see that the boys and girls are having a great time. They're laughing. They're working hard also, but they're having a great time at the gym. I'm also the designated kind of gym mom because I'm there all the time. I live in Pacifica, and just driving back and forth with gas over $3 a gallon is, I'm probably the only mom that stays there when my son is there, and he's there 5 days a week. And right now there's probably about four or 500 kids going to the Judah facility, and as you can see, it's like on an hourly thing. The kids get dropped off, the moms and dads come back and pick them up. So if you were going to go to Judah Street now and see how the parking situation is now, you can always find parking because the parents don't stay. They just drop off their children. They trust the coaches enough that they don't have to watch them. No one, I mean, the getting hurt rate is hardly anything there. And they drop them off, and then when they're at 45 minutes or hour or 3 hours in the case of the team, they come back and pick up the kids. So it's if you go to Judah Street on any day or night, you can see the parking is not a situation. I can always find parking. I stay at the gym, and I'm probably the only parent that stays there all the time because I do live so far away. And then I do frequent like the Safeway and things like that too. But because I'm there 5 days a week and live so far, I'm there. So currently, if you look at the facility, it's not a parking situation. So I'm just hoping that with the new facility, I'm sure it will operate the same way, and you can see that the parking won't be an issue. So thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, good morning. My name is Jennifer Guittard. I'm here to speak in favor of the parking variance for Elizabeth Selig. I'm here with my daughter, who is 9, who is a member of the San Francisco American Gymnastics girls team. I understand that the priority is parking, and obviously that's what we're all here to try and get accomplished, but you've heard lots of heartfelt, pro-children, wonderful business speakers. So I'm also a fifth-generation San Francisco. I've lived here my whole life, my parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, and parking is always an issue in the city. It's something that if you choose to raise your family here and have your business here, it's something that needs to be dealt with. At American Gymnastics, parking is not an issue currently. There are hundreds. Elizabeth could tell you what her current enrollment is right now, and there's never a parking problem. It's on Judah and 30th. There's the end Judah. There's the neighborhoods. There's businesses. There's people who park their cars there all day and take the end Judah to work and leave their cars there all day, and yet there's still ample parking. So it's there's no reasonable reason to assume that that would not also exist at the Bayshore location. So I guess that's really the most crucial issue, and so I just want to say that I've never had a hard time parking. I've never had to park more than half a block away at any given time of day. Noon, I've been there at noon, I've been there at 1, I'm there at 5, I'm there at 9 o'clock at night, and it's never a problem. So you can go on her current track record and assuming that that it will continue to be that way at her new location. So I hope you support this variant. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Rebecca Byrne, and I am a Bernal Heights resident. I am also a longtime gymnastics coach at American Gymnastics. I started there in 1990. And I've always lived on the Petrer Hill, Bernal Heights side of town and commuted about half an hour across town each way to go to the gym. And I go there, you know, 6 days a week. And I also have a family now and we live in Bernal Heights. And so it's kind of a big commitment to spend an hour commute just in our city alone. So I'm, you know, thrilled to have this location open up in my backyard. So I can walk to work, I can bike to work. And I know, you know, we have, I don't know, 18 to 20 employees at any given time at the gym, and they're all like college-aged kids. They bike, most of them bike. You know, we have little bikes in the back. We have bikes out front. They bike. They take the bus. They like to live in, you know, walking distance of the gym. We have several employees right now who are walking distance. I know that we're going to attract that kind of employee on that side of town. You know, a lot of times employees don't want to work for us because it's too much of a commute. You know, they're not gonna, most of them don't have cars. So I know our staff would really not be impacting the parking situation. The other thing is we have a lot of preschools who come and they take the bus or they have a van and they come in and it's, you know, 8 kids in our class and it's 1 car or they're taking the end Judah over. And I know my son goes to Sunnyside Elementary and we wanted to do field trips for schools in the neighborhood. So I know that's the type of business we would have during the day. It would be, you know, the bus coming and dropping off. And we're really excited to be able to do that, to offer that to this side of the, to the Bernal Heights and Bayview, Potrero area. Another thing is, you know, I've been a team coach there for, you know, 20 years, and it was really disappointing to me to train girls like 25 hours a week to this point where they're really accomplished gymnasts and then say, well, I'm sorry, you're going to have to find a new location because the gym is too small. And so we're really looking forward to having a safe environment for the higher level girls so that they don't have to drive to San Mateo or to the East Bay. I know we just had kids leave to go to a gym in the East Bay going over the bridge. It would be really nice if they could stay with us. I know that's not their first choice is to leave. They'd rather stay in the city, but when you don't have the environment for it, to make it safe, they can't do that. So I really support the parking variance, obviously, and I hope you'll grant it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Debbie Rauschwager, and I'm speaking as a
Wong and a second grade elementary school teacher in the San Francisco Unified School District. And I know this is about a parking variance, but I'm here to please ask that the gym be opened. I have three sons who are daycare kids, so it was so important that they start gymnastics. They were clumsier than all the other kids at the park, and they spent their days in a backyard in someone's home. So they started gymnastics in preschool, and it has done so much for them. I just wish some of those park moms could see them today. My oldest is 15, you heard him speak, and he really is outgrowing the gym in the Sunset. We would so love the new gym so that he can continue through high school, and really, my older two, get the college scholarship. As an elementary school teacher, I work in a school that has a lot of Bernal Heights families, and they would love the opportunity to have a gym in their neighborhood. The kids who do drive all the way to the Sunset from my school, they get so much from gymnastics. They learn to listen to an adult. They can transition easily from activity to activity. They learn to support each other and just the coordination, the skills they get. So as a teacher and a parent, I think gymnastics is so important, and I really support the parking variance. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other speakers in support of the application? Seeing none, we'll move to opposition. Sir, you have 3 minutes.
Hello. Crispin Thompson. I have a studio at 382 Bayshore. I share a dividing wall with the space in question. I've got no problems with gymnastics. It's a pretty good space for gymnastics. It's got high ceilings. No neighbors that would complain about noise or kids. But there's just basically no parking. There's only 5 parking spaces in front of the entire building. They're basically used most of the time. If the 10 parking spaces is nearly all of the parking from Portland to Oakdale, practically, because there's a dumpster in front of the glass place, Floorcraft, there's no parking. Jack in the Box, there's 2 spaces in front of it. So that's already 10 spaces from Portland to past Jack in the Box. The Lowe's construction has eliminated the parking on one whole side of Bayshore, with no concessions being made for no suspension of alternate side parking. There's just basically no parking space for them. This morning, all of the parking in front of the building was already full. Everyone at 382 and 380, 380 is Dennis Otto, Dennis Chang. I'm here to complain for him. Currently, the people at 382, I find myself parking on Oakdale sometimes. I find myself parking over on Industrial, Palou, or like annoying the people on Barnville because we keep parking over there. There's just basically no parking. I've got no problem with the gymnastics club, but I saw that it's a parking variance, and there's no parking for it. There's really no space. There's only 5 spaces in front of the entire building.
And sir, how far would you have to park away from your studio on average?
It varies. Sometimes there is parking in front of the gymnastics club. I doubt there will be once they move in. But on occasion, Oakdale is the other side of Bayshore. Sometimes we frequently park on Barnabelle, which involves either going up to Industrial in that 2 blocks and then over, or down to Oakdale, over 2 blocks and then up. So I have to cross Bayshore either way.
Does the building that you're in have any parking or provide any parking?
No. There's a bus stop at 380 directly in front of their building. There is the 24 on Cortland. It's also a 24-hour bus. Both the 9 and the 24 serves the building fantastically. But a variance for 10 off-street parking spaces seems excessive.
Thank you for your comments. Thanks. Now the project sponsor has a 3-minute rebuttal.
Thank you. This is Jace Levinson, project sponsor, speaking in rebuttal. We're really sympathetic with the parking issue. Parking is a huge issue throughout the city.
And I want to say to anybody who has spoken in opposition or who would speak in opposition that I would know that if they would approach Ms. Selig, I think Ms. Selig would do her best, everything she humanly could, to accommodate these people and to minimize any parking inconveniences. I know that from her, from working with her over a long period of time. I'm also the architect, and I've probably gone over that site 10 times, at least, with my staff. And I got to say, I go there in the middle of the day, and I've never had a problem parking on Bayshore, not once. I've never ridden around the block. I've never parked at another retail facility. I've never parked on another street. Per peak parking would be, or the peak arrival time would basically be somewhere between 6 and 9 o'clock for one class. Classes are 6 to 8 children. I don't think we're talking about such a huge demand, and we have to really weigh the overall resource of this facility to the city. Not just the gymnastics, but the building itself. I mean, do you essentially want to condemn the building to being a parking facility for just about any use? Any use is going to have this problem. So I would ask planning, do you want to condemn this facility, or do you want to open it up to the neighborhood and to the resources and to the business and to the finances and to the community and to the children and to the needs? And I think it's obvious that the pros here, and people have spoken very eloquently, that the pros clearly outweigh maybe a few parents at a time dropping off a few children. Again, a class is about 6 to 8 children, and at the most, there'd be 4 classes at any given time. That's sort of the peak. So we're talking about if you have 6 kids and, say, 3 classes, 18 children in a 12,000-square-foot space. 18 children in a 12,000-square-foot space with maybe 3 or 4 employees there. That's the demand we're talking about. I don't think it's significant, and I hope that planning will agree with us on that and grant the variance, and I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
So this closes the public hearing on this item, and I have carefully reviewed the materials, the application that was provided by the project sponsor, and taken into consideration all the public testimony that was presented at this hearing. I do hereby grant the subject parking variance subject to standard conditions. This is an appealable position, and so I would suggest if anyone is in opposition that they request to be notified of the variance decision letter. The decision letter starts the 10-day window to appeal. It's appealable to the Board of Appeals. At the Board of Appeals, there's a set process. You can contact them directly to find out more, but that's the process that would be available to appeal this decision. So with that, we're on to the next item.
Regular calendar, starting with item number 5. Case number 2010.0221V, 104-214 Presidio Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor here, please? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, Zoning Administrator Sanchez. I'm Joe Rubin and Jenny is working with project sponsors for a while now. I'm just going to do a brief introduction, and then Louis Butler, who's the architect, will show you exactly what it looks like in plan. Generally, let's say more specifically, we've addressed all of the 5 criteria and a lot more in the very comprehensive submittal, and I don't need to repeat that, so I'll just incorporate that. Generally, we have a unique building on a unique lot, sized lot, in an area that is mostly single-family residences or two-family residences. In general terms, the granting of this application for the variance will eliminate or reduce a series of existing non-conforming uses that are not of our making while creating or exacerbating none. It will also increase light, air, and open space in a now cramped rear yard area, and Lewis will be able to talk more about that. and at least as importantly, it will greatly enhance the quality of the existing 7 residential rental units that are a part of this project by creating more public open space for those units and more private open space. And finally, it opens up a rear yard that will enhance light and air to neighboring properties as well. I think all of that is covered adequately in the documents, but I think Lewis will show you then exactly what we're talking about.
Good morning, my name is Lewis Butler. I'm the architect for the project. I'd like to, this has been a difficult site for people to understand on occasion. I have a historic photo I wanted to submit, but I thought it might be helpful if
you could also place that in the, so that. And then you can submit it later after that.
This is the corner of Presidio and Jackson. The site for this project is on the right-hand side. You can see this photograph was probably taken at the turn of the century with the streetcar and wheelbarrow there. So the subject building was built on top of that hill on the right-hand side, and it was built with 95% lot coverage, virtually. So we begin, and I will not go through all 5 variance findings because I think they are well laid out, and I'd rather answer specific questions. But to begin with, this building was built in such a way that it had, again, 95% lot coverage, and the main floor of the building is 20 feet above the street level. So there was no open space at all for any of the 7 units in the building, and we felt that was a difficulty that we had to address. So in working with my clients and Mr. Rubin, we proposed taking down the middle wing of the building, which more than doubles the available open space to individual units and also common space. And also lets light space, light air into the mid-block open space in a way that I think is very frankly popular with the neighborhood. We have 7 letters of support, I believe, that we've submitted to you. We have a very friendly relationship with all the neighbors. I know some of them personally. They're all very much excited about the fact that this building is being redone, is being seismically upgraded, and we're also trying to make it more attractive on the outside. So this variance is part of a package that we are proposing. It's an important part of the package because we feel it moves in the direction of the planning code, in the direction of what the neighbors would like. And I most of all would like to answer any specific questions because it is a complicated project and may not be easily understood by all.
Thank you. I do have a few questions. So it's, as you mentioned, it is improving compliance with the open space requirements. And through the reconfiguration of the units, are you also improving the exposure access under the planning code? Because it looks like some of the units may have only had exposure on at the rear of the property. Is that the case with the current unit configuration?
Well, are you speaking to the existing units first and then the proposed units? Okay,
yes.
The existing units only had exposure to middle block open space originally. They obviously had street exposure. Originally, they only had exposure to mid-block open space through light wells that were filled with fire escapes and were extremely narrow. And many of them were 2 or 3-story deep slots. So that was the extent of the open space. So if I'm in one of the units, I'm opening a window and looking across 6 or 8 feet to the other unit. So by taking down the middle wing, we basically give 4 of the 7 units dramatically better open space, and then the other 3 that are lower down enjoy open space, but not as dramatically enhanced.
But it sounds like the exposure overall is being improved as well.
Oh, dramatically. Yeah.
So then overall, you'd be reducing approximately 270 square feet in floor area, the overall building?
Is it that decrease, yes.
And each of the units, because this is an RH2 district, so for 2 units to be permitted, there are 7 units, so 5 of those units would be non-conforming, and all the units are getting smaller in size, so there's no increase in any discrepancy.
No, we've been very careful, and we understand very well those rules that we've designed accordingly. That's correct.
Thank you. That's all the questions I have. Is anyone else to speak in support of the subject application? Anyone to speak in opposition to the subject application? Project sponsor has a 3-minute rebuttal, should they so choose to use it?
Thank you.
Thank you. That closes the public hearing. Based on the testimony I've heard here today and the materials in the application, I'm inclined to grant the variance subject to standard conditions. A letter will be forthcoming on that matter. Thank you very much.
Moving to item number 6. Case number 2010.0144V, 216 Sadowa Street, is the project sponsor here. You have 5 minutes, sir.
I was under the impression that the planner was going to do the discussion, but I'm the owner's side. I'll see what I can do. I wasn't going to interpret this. This is what the property looks like. It's kind of weird. It's two separate lots that were sold to my parents on the one transaction, and it's the property in question is this little landlocked area right here. And where the X is, there used to be a cardboard there that... There used to be a carport where that X is, and since this area, it was an empty property or empty lot when my parents bought it, so we had access to the carport. That house has, that property has since been developed and the house is built, so we no longer have access to that carport. We put some siding on the carport to make it the storage area. And I think we needed a variance because we required that 15 feet clearance in the back lot.
Concludes your presentation. I have a few questions for you.
Yeah, I wasn't really prepared. Sorry.
So, how long has your family owned the property?
I believe they bought it in 2001.
And do you know the history of the carport, how that was accessed, or?
Well, but some of the old neighbors told us that there were four properties here that used to be owned by the same owner. And they use that as an access, or they would access one of those four properties. I guess when they passed away, they split the lots and sold them separately. And for whatever reason, this small lot was attached to the lot my parents bought. So for the first 4 or 5 years, there was no problem because there was an empty lot right next to my parents' property. But I believe that was built up in 2004, 2005, somewhere around there, and then no longer had access to that. We didn't set that storage.
What's the structure used for?
Currently?
Yeah.
Or storage?
Just storage of?
Just like random stuff my parents and I get rid of.
Okay. And the work to enclose it was done without benefit of permit?
Correct.
And so I think the requirements of both building code and planning code are clear and understandable now?
Yeah, we're trying to rectify that right now. And this is one of the steps.
Thank you very much. Questions that I have. And is there anyone here to speak in support of the subject project? Anyone here to speak in opposition to the subject project? And you have a 3-minute rebuttal if you have the same Okay. So thank you. And based on the application that was presented and the testimony that you've heard, I'm inclined to grant the variance with a decision letter that'd be forthcoming. And that's all that matters, and we can move on to the next case. Thank you.
Moving to item number 7. Case number 2010.0189V, 111 Huffman Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Sponsor? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Okay. Hi, my name is Philip Lapp. And I recently purchased a home at 111 Hoffman Street, which is the parents' applied to. And this home has a pre-existing property, part of the property that's kind of out of in the backyard, and it has a stairwell going down to the deck. And basically, we're remodeling the house, and we'd like to put a deck on that level so that we can enjoy the back, the main floor next to our living room, which is the room that's kind of the back of the house. That's basically what we're trying to do. And what I learned from my architect is that the only way to put a deck back there is to go through the variance process. And that's why we're here. And I know that we have had some discussions with neighbors, which you're aware of. And we had our introduction to the neighborhood with the deck in May. And then last month, about 2 weeks ago, we had a conversation with them. And from that conversation, they brought up some issues that they had some concerns with. And we've since reworked the plans and consideration of their of what they were having concerned with. And I'd like to introduce my architect, who's going to explain a little bit about the things.
Thank you for hearing our case today. I'm Toby Long. I'm the architect working with the Lab East to get their deck moving forward. I just wanted to quickly describe some of the revisions that have been kind of discussed with the neighbors over the past several days. We did agree to adjust the staircase to effectively reduce the height of the firewall. I had two images that I improved upon, Scott, from my last night correspondence with Sharon. One is a photograph, which I'll just show you quickly, sort of looking at the existing conditions here, where measured from grade on our property to the height of the current firewall is about 8 feet. We, in our adjustment of the staircase more recently, we are effectively increasing the height of this firewall about 15 inches, which is about here, looking at siding boards, it's about the height of the adjacent door. I also made a quick adjustment for you, to the grade line, which was shown on our drawings, and here, so it's not gonna say, but this is the three risers going up to the door here. This is the grade of the adjacent house. We are 9'6" to the height of the firewall as measured from the landing, which is as the stair turns and comes down along the property line.
So that concludes your presentation. Just a few points. This item, I believe, was initially scheduled for the May 2010 hearing, but was continued to this hearing to perform additional community outreach.
Correct.
And so as a result of that community outreach, the neighbor had expressed their concerns about this, and it's my understanding they're not able to attend today. They had requested that this item be continued. I don't think there's been sufficient time for everyone to make input here, so I don't feel the need to continue the item. I have maybe more comments than questions, I guess. But this is provides the main means of access to the rear yard from the main habitable level of the building.
Correct.
Where the kitchen is, so it would be the deck area.
From the living space.
From the house space, and then
right.
Stairs down to
right.
The rear yard. And I guess that's all for questions, so we'll move into, is anyone else in support of the project? And seeing none, there's anyone here in opposed to the project? Seeing none, we have a rebuttal, and I guess maybe I just have some comments for you guys to consider. I think at this point in time, I don't feel comfortable granting the variance. I would request that you work with the neighbor and go through the revised plans, see if this addresses the concerns that they have. And so at this point, just be willing to take the matter under advisement. So we close the public hearing at this point, take the matter under advisement, and request that you discuss further with the neighbor the revised project and see if it can address their concerns. And I do appreciate the willingness that you've had so far to make accommodations to the plans. I think it's been very helpful in this process. So at this point, just close the hearing, contact the planner, Sharon Lai, who's been working with you on this, and coordinate with her for getting back to us after the results of your discussions with the neighbor.
Great, thanks.
Thank you. The next item.
Moving to item number 8. Case number 2010.0230B. 307 Chinnery Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor here, please?
Can you list this item number 9 or 307
Chinnery? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Item number 8.
Was that 877 Alvarado?
Yes, I'm sorry. So item number 8, case number 2010.0331V. 877 Alvarado Street, rear yard variance sought.
Hi, I'm Anthony Johnson with Mascon Builders, speaking on behalf of Mr. Jeffrey Wade at 877 Alvarado. Apparently, Mr. Waite, when he first purchased the house, it had an existing back deck and stairs. And due to time, the deck was old, so he decided to replace it in kind. Unfortunately, Mr. Waite did have the deck replaced with no permission from the city. So he hired Mezcon Builders to fix the situation. We did first get a permit to fix the stairs because they were downright dangerous. And when we submitted the plans to the city, we were notified that the city did rezone the back area of the neighborhood. So the back area, the back of his house, actually, with the new rezoning, starts several feet into the house. So essentially, we're just trying to fix a deck and stairs that were already there in the first place. There are some changes that need to be made. For instance, taking the deck back 3 feet, so we don't have to build a firewall. But yeah, we're just here to ameliorate the situation.
So,
but there was a previous permit to repair dry rot. This is pulled by the project, by the property owner. It sounds like by the previous builder, and that's what we have in our records. Is that the case? Did they just exceed the scope of that permit and remove and replace the deck, or is this permit that I think was in our records completely unrelated and very unfamiliar with the permit to do dry rot repair? I don't know.
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. And then the project will be revised to set it back 3 feet, at least from the side property lines, to avoid the need for
firewall.
And the deck is approximately 10 feet in height above grade, which is relatively close to the permitted obstruction under section 136C25, where you can have the 10-foot high pop-out going 12 feet into the rear yard. It's my understanding that this really what triggers the variance, the stairs that project down into the rear yard. Are there any alternative ways of routing those stairs that would be within the envelope of a permitted obstruction and not require variance?
No, even if it was built, as the deck comes out, even if we built it sideways, it would still be encroaching.
Even if it were built sideways?
Yeah.
And so if it were to be built sideways, it would be less of an obstruction to the required rear yard. Why hasn't that alternative been discussed, or has it been discussed?
Because I would imagine that the angle at which it would encroach on site, it's there's no if the stairs are coming down. The point at which it would obstruct visually, it's way below it. So.
And there's been no comments that you've received from the neighbors on the project. And I assume this was was worked on without benefit of permit, and the project sponsor is aware, and you're brought in to fix this, and the property owner is aware of now of the requirements of the city to pull permits for
Most certainly. Work. Yeah, which is why we did the 311, and we're doing the request for the variance.
I'm concerned about these stairs, and at this point we'll take this matter under advisement. We'll close the public hearing and take this matter under advisement and discuss further with staff alternatives, and we'll be discussing with you if we will request some further changes in the future. But I would contact the planner after today.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Public hearing is closed on this, and take the matter under advisement.
Item number 9, case number 2010.0230V307 Chinnery Street, rear yard variance on.
Good morning, my name is Javier, and I'm here representing the owner of the property, Mr. Alex Jimenez. Today we're seeking a rear yard variance for an encroachment of approximately 6 feet into the required rear yard. This is an RH2 zone lot with a single family home, and that's how originally was built. Current property owner has been there for 40 years with his parents. We haven't heard anything from any of the neighbors as in so far. I don't know if there's anybody here in opposition. The deck is set back from each of the sides by one side 4 feet and the other side 4.75 feet, which with a little bit more cutback, actually this would be allowed. So I think that the way it's described and the on the calendar, it seems to be a little bit more than what it actually is, because if we were to set back 5 feet to each side, then the variance wouldn't be required, I believe, because we would be within the encroachable 12 feet allowed by the code. As it was explained to us by Mr. Putra, the planner.
So, did that complete your presentation?
Yes.
So, seriously, the deck as constructed is approximately, well, 13 feet above grade, so it would not be a permitted obstruction under section 136C25. And it does not comply with the, it's because of the setback from the sides. It is very close to complying with section 136C25. And this is the kind of main useful open space then for the...
Exactly, and actually this is replacing an existing deck that was done without, it was replaced without the benefit of a permit, that the deck was there, except that the owner squared it off and used to jog at about a 2-foot jog into the property. So when he rebuilt it, he decided to square it off.
And the ground floor is simply storage and parking?
Exactly, yes.
Alright. Thank you. Is there anyone else here to speak in support of the project? Anyone to speak in opposition to the project? Project Ponce, you have a 3-minute rebuttal. Should you so have any additional say? Okay, thank you. After considering the application and the public testimony here, be inclined to grant the variance for the deck. It is very close to complying with section 136C25 requirements. It's consistent with the neighborhood character, with the adjacent property has a large multi-level deck, and it does provide the most usable, accessible usable open space for the dwelling unit. So with that, I would be inclined to grant the variance subject to standard conditions with the decision letter to follow, and that's all for this item.
Moving to item number 10, case number 2008.0505V, 1321 Bejarano Street.
Thank you. And
is the sponsor here?
Before we begin with this item, it was brought to our attention actually yesterday that the project, which proposes a front setback variance, actually does not require a front setback variance. It is a permitted obstruction under section 136C27 of the Planning Code. Also, the width of the garage door, which is typically, we see this as excessive considering residential design guidelines, it is also allowable under an exception for section 144 of the Planning Code, which deals with how we treat ground floors and residential properties. So it's a little bit of an unusual item, but we did, we just want to hold a public hearing on this, get the project sponsor to briefly describe the project and how it's evolved. There was a previous variance hearing that was conducted in conjunction with a discretionary review hearing. That was for a rear yard variance. The initial proposal was to have a garage at the rear of the building. That proposal was changed at the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission had denied the request to have parking at the rear. They directed the project sponsor to relocate it elsewhere, to relocate it to the front of the property. That changed the previous variance, which while it was granted at the hearing, a decision letter has still not been issued. And it's the department's position, the zoning administrator's position, that we will maintain approval of that rear yard variance based on the testimony that was at the initial variance hearing that will change from parking to habitable space. And the project as notified for this variance with the garage at the front is how the project would move forward. So with that, if the project sponsor has any comments to make or could just briefly describe, or if the project sponsor here, right, thank you. If you could just approach and kind of describe briefly the process.
Yes, Albert Costa here for the architect and representative of 1321 Department. Yes, this is as you were, your description was accurate. This is a follow-up resolution or solution to our October 15, 2009 hearing. And we had tried to, we were going to have parking or garage on the other side of the building, but it was sent the other way. And through meetings with the neighbors, community and neighborhood groups, we have settled or feel it's a good solution to place this garage down at the foot or the toe of the building. We do think it's a good solution for everybody involved. I do want to mention though about that there is a possibility that if we're forced into not having a garage for some one reason or another, I want to state here for the record that at the time of the hearing on October 15th, there was a mention about an inclination or the zoning administrator was inclined to grant the variance in parking if it was to come up. And I just want to mention here that we wouldn't want to incur any new fees if this was to occur. So somehow, I don't know how you would handle something like this. So I wanted to try to bring that to light. We're fine with the way that, you know, things are turning out, but we don't want to have to go through this process again because we've been through quite a lot.
Thank you. I understand. I appreciate their patience in this process and working with the department and with the Planning Commission to come up with an alternative that we can support. And at this point, I'd be inclined to finally issue the variance decision letter as it was heard at the previous hearing, and I believe to grant a rear yard variance to allow the structure, the habitable structure at the rear, but not parking at the rear. And so a variance decision will be issued to that effect, and that was properly noticed at the and discussed at the previous variance hearing in October. That was also before the Planning Commission. And I want to know if there's anyone here in support of the project. Any?
Well, there are. But I think we're okay with just not having them come up.
Okay. Is anyone here opposed to the project?
I do.
Thank you.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Jonathan Rosen. I live at 1314 Dejaro, which is just below the lower part of Dejaro. I don't have clarity into how what improvements are going to be made to the upper part of the road in order to get the cars to that garage. Right now, it's not a warranted road. It's a road that evolved over time with neighbors putting blacktop on it, sort of an organic road, and it's actually a truck kind of flipped over and almost fell on our house in the median, so it's very narrow. So right now, I assume a retaining wall would have to be built and an extension of the road would have to be built to support traffic to the house. Without having any understanding of actually all of the construction that will need to be happened with Department of Public Transportation, etc., it's hard for me to support this project. Right now, we look up towards the house, and we can see the open space and the hill, and if the road is significantly altered and the variance is granted, it's unclear to me what the results will be in terms of what we see. I know that this has been a contentious issue because of the open space in the back and the desire to leave that pristine. What we see in the front is a median and a pristine open space extension that ultimately will be altered through this granting this. So that's my question.
Thank you. And this is definitely a unique situation, and I apologize that this has come up at the last minute. But there's actually no real action that is before me right now, and relying on the previous granting of the variance from the hearing in October of last year, and that was for a rear yard variance, which will ultimately have habitable space. So the parking that is being considered proposed for the project at the front of the property is principally permitted under the planning code. It meets the planning code requirements. It does not require a variance. And this is something that we finally determined yesterday after reviewing the materials, that it is what is considered permitted obstruction under Section 136C25, and also Section 144, so there's no variance that's required to be granted here. Any building permit that would be issued pursuant to both the variance and the discretionary review would be appealable to the Board of Appeals within 15 days of the issuance of that permit. And I think we've raised a lot of really good concerns here that need to be addressed. I think that to some extent they are beyond the purview of our department, given that they are in the public right of way and issues for the Department of Public Works. So we'd request that you discuss with the project sponsor your concerns and see if that there's a way to address and alleviate those issues. And also, Diego Sanchez, our staff, is actually in the room today. He's the planner who processed this, and he might be a good resource for you as well to discuss. And hopefully we can get some resolution to the concerns that you have. But do want to make you aware of your rights that you could appeal the issuance of a building permit, which would contain the garage that is proposed. But the variance itself does not include the work I think which you're concerned about, just to make you aware. So. And if the project sponsor, if you have a three-minute rebuttal, should you choose?
Well, yeah, Albert Costa. Again, I want to reiterate, when with the variance decision letter, how can we, is there a way that we can put something into this variance decision letter that would address a variance on parking or no fees incurred? We wouldn't mind, if something was to happen that was unforeseen, like this gentleman was mentioning, regarding DPW, something like that, we don't want to have to pay again, because we've already been through the variance hearing, we're here now, we're trying to do the right thing with noticing, but is there, did you have a, Scott, do you have a, can we get something into the decision letter if, you know, it's kind of like if something was to occur that the sponsor would...
I believe I understand what you are requesting, however, I don't believe that is something that we can offer, and I will discuss further with Mr. Sanchez, the planner. But it's my understanding that this was not noticed as a variance from the parking requirements of the planning code, that it was noticed first as a rear yard variance and then this time as a front setback variance. So we feel that we could not actually waive the parking requirement of the planning code without doing the proper notification of public hearing.
But I wouldn't mind, we don't mind doing the public notification or hearing,
okay.
But it's the fee.
That's something that I think would need to be discussed further with the planner and also with our financial unit. That is something that I cannot make a decision on, but it's something that we can discuss further and it's really a matter not for the...
I'm just trying to protect, you know, I mean, it's been a long road, so we want to...
I appreciate that. And
just be careful.
I understand.
But other than that, we're comfortable with your decision.
Okay. Thank you. So, with that, we'll close the public hearing. And as I said, there's no real action being taken as a result of this hearing, which was noticed for a front setback variance. We've determined that no front setback variance is now required. But we will issue the variance decision letter for the rear yard variance, which is now to allow habitable space. The initial proposal there was to provide parking at the rear. So with that, we'll close this hearing and move on to the next item.
Item number 11, case number 2010.247V, 143 Duncan Street, rear yard variance sought.
Good morning.
You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Alida Rotan-Schumann. I'm the project architect. And I usually don't encourage my clients to apply for variances, but what happens with this property is that in 2005, the former property owner applied for a variance, and this variance was approved for the same building footprint that we're requesting a variance today. And so there are some reasons that are very compelling to be able to, that I think that they are, to be able to approve this variance. One of them is the super standard size of the lot compared to the lots that there are surrounding the neighborhood. And I have a plan here that I can show you. Well, let's see, it doesn't fit the whole plan doesn't fit here, but as you can see that the number 28 in red, that is their side, is 106 feet long, Most of the lots around there are 114 and some are 122, which means that they are either 8 feet or 16 feet longer. If we had 8 feet or 16 feet more of in the length of the lot, we would not be here applying for the variance. There are some other reasons which I think besides the size of the lot, that there are a problem on this parcel. One is the multiple necessary levels of the backyard, the access to the backyard for the child's bedroom, and in particular for their application would be the need of an office space for the parents. I think that there are, let me see, the other, another exception of extraordinary circumstances would be that it represents a hardship for most parents because they work full time and they don't have they work full time and they don't have a full time babysitter. It would be unfair to not to grant these variants because if we don't do these changes, the family will not be able to use the backyard in a regular manner like most families would do. Most parcels are larger, and the expansion that would occur for this for this project would be within the previous approved space that was granted in 2005. And the third level office is actually an addition that occurs on an existing deck. But this deck has a 4-foot enclosure. So when you start looking at what it is that we are adding, actually we are adding about 4 feet above the height of this guardrail. So the obstruction that represents to the neighbors is minimum. We had invited the neighbors to come over for a meeting. Nobody came. We have not found any opposition so far. The project is in harmony with the city's general plan, since it requires no new setbacks. ABCD is in compliance to that, and it's in within the, as I mentioned earlier, it's in with the footprint of the previous approved areas. That is within your planning code that you can add 12 feet in length, while it is 5 feet, while it has 5 feet in setbacks, and. The only difference would be the building height, that was what I mentioned, but still the building height is what is allowable for this project. So if you have any questions, I would like to try to answer them.
Yes, thank you. Could you please detail a bit more about the previous variance?
The previous variance, what happens was they applied for a variance to add that 12-foot extension with the 5-foot setbacks, and that was approved in 2005. So now what we are doing is we are using the same space, keeping the bathroom and the closet area where it is, but removing the stairwell structure. And in the stairwell, where is the stairwell structure, is where we are building the extension. That will be a new entry to the rear of the house. And also we are trying to create one level in the backyard instead of the multiple levels. You go down now steps to go, steps down into a complete target and to go up again to the lawn area. And it's a very difficult space to maneuver for young children and elderly adults.
So, doesn't this structure fit under the permitted obstructions under 136 C25 and the 12-foot pop-out? So that's the existing. But that was approved in 2005. Why was the variance required?
They told me I needed the variance because I'm working within a very different space that it was approved within a variance. So that's why I have to come back in front of you.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is anyone here in support of the subject project?
My client is here. She'd like to say a few words.
Thank you.
Would you like to have this site plan?
Yes, please. Thank you.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
I'm Michelle Randall, and I'm one of the owners. My husband and I own 143 Duncan. And I guess I just wanted to sort of reiterate what Aaliyah said, which is that the current, we're not really trying to add on more space, but just redo what was done before in 2005. There's this ridiculous stairway that runs the whole height of the house, and it actually feels like sort of not safe for my kids to be on in the first place, and it creates three different levels in the backyard. And so you go down this wooden stairway, and then there's cement stairs, and there's a cement area, and then you go up 2 or 3 feet, more cement steps to get to the lawn. And so what we're trying to do is take down the existing stairway, build a more straightforward stairway that leads to a flat plain deck and just onto the lawn, just making it more simple and easy. I do have 2 young children, and we like to use the yard. I find it very stressful to be out there with them because I feel it's dangerous. My son just fell down the other day on the cement part of the backyard going from the wood stairs and got hurt, and it just happens regularly. Like, it's just not a safe place. And our street is a fairly busy street, so playing in front of the house isn't safe, and you know, we feel like we want to be able to make use of this backyard that we do have. And then the second issue is the upstairs deck that we would like to make enclosed. My husband and I both do work. I've been working part-time since my kids were born, and I'm now planning to go back full-time. I do work from home, require quiet space for writing and thinking, but having the office in the rear would also allow me to look over the backyard and watch my children when they're home and some things at once.
Thank you. When did you buy the property?
We bought the house in 2007.
Okay, so you were not responsible for the initial construction?
That's we were not responsible for that, yeah. And we currently don't use that upper deck because we don't want the kids out there to feel awesome. It's not safe. It leads to that back stairway, and we just also make it closed, safe. Also, I have this notice.
Is there anyone here to speak in up? Anyone else in support of the project? Or anyone in opposition to the project? In opposition, right?
Hi, I'm Rachel Donovan, and I live next door. And actually, I don't really know if I'm in opposition or not. I'm kind of not clear on what the project is. And I didn't receive the invitation to come see it. I would have loved to have come see it, because I looked at the plans, and I couldn't figure them out. And my boyfriend and I bought the house next door in September 2009, last year. So we have one of the other houses that unfortunately also is disadvantaged and does not have the extra space. So, in other words, we are the one next door that you saw that also is only 104 feet deep. Although that's longer than most lots. They're normally 100 feet deep. So we looked at a zillion houses and we were like, thank goodness we have the extra 4 feet, but it happens to be on this street. A lot of them are 114, but ours has the extra 4 feet. It's better than the usual 100. So, the thing is, what we're concerned about, I can't figure it out from the plans. I thought, okay, maybe they're just building on top of the third story where there's the deck, which is, my main concern is about the light coming into our backyard. Our building is much shallower than the building of Michelle and Doug, so the extension that they already have blocks a lot of our light in the backyard, and I spend a lot of time in the backyard, and I want to add more. We just moved in September, but I want to add more garden, for fruits and vegetables and things like that. So we do get some light, especially in the summer, because actually we're lucky there's a lot of trees around too, so that also blocks a lot of light. But in the summertime, we have a large patio area where we can convert more of that to garden. That's a big reason why we bought the place, because it faces south and it gets a lot of sunshine. So, well, it does in the summer, which is when we saw it. We saw it in September and or August, actually, when we first saw it. So, yeah, but of course, in the winter, it doesn't get as much sun anymore, just because the trees and everything are blocking it. But anyway, so the evening sun gets blocked by already the building that's there. But even there's some sun that filters through on the third story. It's a deck part. I spend a lot of time out there, and I'm always looking and going, oh, my plants are still getting some sun because the third floor has some light filters through the deck area. But of course, once it becomes 5 feet higher and completely solid with a building, we're going to get even less light than we have now. So I think what I heard from, I don't know if it's the
architect. So it's definitely above the deck, it's going to be all solid. But already it's partially blocked because of the deck and everything anyway, so it's kind of, it maybe could be something we can work with or something. So, without my time. So it is a main concern we have is with the light, and also that I'm not sure, it seemed like maybe there's going to be a deck in addition sticking out. We can't tell. Anyway.
I appreciate your comments, and you are correct. You know, the average lot size in San Francisco would be 25 by 100 feet deep. So at 104 feet deep, it is already larger than the standard lot in San Francisco, if there is such a thing as a standard lot. Is there anyone else to speak in opposition? You're so project sponsor, we have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Well, I did take into consideration some of the questions that you have. Number one is the one right now what we have as a guardrail, that with the rail enclosed in the existing deck, is 42 inches high, a little bit more than that. And then one thing that I did was I did design the building so that the slope, the roof is going to slope down towards your side. So on that side, it's very low. On that side, what I'm adding is just about another 4 feet above that. Also, this new office space does not enclose the whole deck. It's only a partial enclosure. So in front of this new office space, there is going to be like a balcony, which means it does not change, you know, what you have right now. So what I did create was kind of like a stepping down situation, so because I was concerned about the light. You know, and that's what I took into consideration on that. And the fact also that I'm dealing with the same footprint that I had before. I'm surprised that you did not get the invitation. I mean, we were there for 2 hours, and everybody got the invitations that I know of. So I don't know what happened. I apologize about that. So, any other questions?
No. But I do have concerns about the project and the justifications used for the hardship. I'm honestly not quite there in agreeing with the arguments for the hardship. Given the lot size and given the existing floor plan, there's already a den at the front. There is another home office at the front. This would be providing a kind of a third even working space in the property. I am very concerned about, and I share your concerns about the safety of the deck and the stairs, and so that's why I would put this matter under advisement and see what we can do to address the concerns regarding the safety of the stairs. At this point, I would be inclined to deny the variance, at least for the added third floor addition of the work area. But would like to see what we can do about the stairs at the rear to have something that is a bit more safe and usable for your family. So without taking under advisement, I'd like you to also meet with the neighbor and kind of see what concerns they have that can be addressed by your project, and also get in contact with the planner who signed the project to discuss alternatives about how to make that rear stair more safe and accessible.
I have a question. Yes. That is you're denying the variance today, or are you continuing
I want to make it clear that my intent would be to deny, because I don't feel that the hardship has been justified here. But we'd give more time for you to make additional arguments to us, also to discuss with the neighbor their concerns. Not ruling it out at this point, but want to let you know what I was inclined to decide, and so you can address those issues. But really, their concerns about these stairs, let's work with the planner to see what can be done to address those concerns so they can be safe, even if we don't have the new third floor addition. Okay.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
So we'll close the public hearing on that one, take it under advisement. Please speak with the neighbor and also speak with the planner involved in this case.
Last item in the agenda, item number 12. That would be case number 2010.0246V, 31 Uranus Terrace, parking variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
We're asking for a parking variance because...
Could you please describe your your name and...
Oh, Maurizio Damiani, I'm the owner. We're applying for a parking variance because of the shape of the building. We're trying to convert the building into a two-unit building. It's rated R2. We're not changing the envelope of the building at all. However, the way the building is constructed and its location, it's on a slope, makes it very difficult. The current parking size is for one car, and it makes it with driveway yard, it makes it just very hard to make it into the building without tearing it apart. Significant part of the building itself. So, this is pretty much the building is it's a residential area. It's located fairly centrally. It's served by buses, 37 stops nearby, a block away. And I personally, there has been construction in my house because I'm remodeling. Parking the interior, so during that process, I couldn't park because the construction workers did. And I always found the parking within like one block across the street. That's typical. So, I've never experienced a problem in parking. Given the fact that right now I don't have a parking space, I cannot use my own garage because it's being used as a deposit by construction workers. So,
thank you, sir.
In terms of the existing parking, you've indicated that now, given the work that's being done on the property, you're not able to park there. You haven't had any problems finding parking in the neighborhood, but before the work started, you were using the garage regularly.
That's my garage,
Okay. And, I don't think there's anyone here opposed to the project, but I did want to say that we have received at least a letter or email from one person who was opposed to the project, and they had stated concerns regarding the impacts on parking, but also that work they believe was being done already to create this unit without the proper permits. Could you address the work that is being done currently?
I have the architect. Everything has been done with the property. I think that the neighbor was confused by the following fact. So the building has is currently it's on a slope. The entrance is from the top of the street entrance. But the back of the and the lower side of the building was undeveloped when we bought it. We were remodeling that. We went through all the proper permits. The architect is here to justify that. It's just the fact that those permits were not, it did not require the notification of the neighbor. I would say she has never been particularly friendly in general. And this application is a separate issue. It's concerning the actual splitting of the unit into two separate. So the first project is developing that lower. The lower part, which would be the second unit, and the second project is actually the entrance building. So for this, this requires
a notification.
But everything has been done crystal clear.
Thank you. So I appreciate answering that question. So just to formalize, is there anyone else here who's in support of the project that would want to speak?
Would your architect
like to speak? The architect is
is anyone opposed? And seeing none, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
I've already rebutted.
Okay, great. Thank you. So, with that, the hearing is closed, and after considering the testimony here and the items and the application, be inclined to grant the variance subject to standard conditions and the letter on that forthcoming. With that, the hearing on this is closed. And the next item is public comment. anyone who is here that would like to speak, not on an item that was on the calendar today, and seeing none, we would move this variance hearing into adjournment. Thank you.
Thank you. All done. That was good.
Thank you, Ava.